Most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. Happy Monday. Zeno is in for Mike. Camp is just 2 days away. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is good to have you listening, Atlanta, on Atlanta's number one sports station. And this is the only place you're going to get exclusive Falcon coverage. Nobody is going to give you more. Nobody's going to give you the live interviews. Nobody's going to give you the coaching staff. Nobody's going to give you everything you need to know when it comes to the start of the season and leading up to it. Except right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're there live every day starting Wednesday, the morning shift. Steakhouse, Andy and Randy. We will be at Hooters, at the Taj Mahal Hooters up there at Mall of Georgia, having a good time as we always do on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we invite you guys to come through, hang
Hooters,
out with us.
Hooters.
And then next week, we're back at camp. So weekends, we got you covered. This is where you need to be. We're going to talk plenty about the Falcons, but we got to get you caught up on what's going on with the Braves. There is also news when it comes to TNT, and we know that affects a lot of people here in our city when you talk about this NBA contract. But first and foremost, the Braves lose 2 out of 3 to the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that. It was the fact that you lost Ozzie and the fact that you also lost Max Fried to the IL. The Fried injury doesn't seem as though it is as extensive. Ozzie, on the other hand, Fried's on the 15-day IL. Ozzie's expected to miss 8 weeks. So two things happen. Nacho Alvarez is brought up, and then the Braves this morning acquired utility man Whit Merrifield, who was with the Phillies. He was released. And then today we find out, as they're getting ready for a new series tonight, that he injured his finger while warming up, and he was seeing a doctor literally about 15 minutes ago. Brian Snicker, his quote, and you said it. What did Brian Snicker say?
You can't make this up.
You can't make it up. So.
Sure, he wanted to say a couple other words.
Well, thing after thing continues to happen to this team. And so, you know, one guy just hit me up and said, Dukes, it means we'll probably win the World Series because in years we've done everything right. We haven't won it. This is a year where it seems like everything's going wrong.
Some argument to that.
Wow. Zeno, we're going to talk more with Grant McCauley, but quickly, before we get to Falcons, I've been on this and I said it Friday and now I'm going to take a harder stance. You don't want to do anything at the trade deadline. I don't think we can, guys. We have too many issues, and I'm not willing to give up assets and take on money to try to fill the void of what you might think we're missing. This still gets back to the middle of the lineup hitting, the power numbers being up, Harris coming along. We're going to, at some point, we know, get Fried back. If we get Ozzie back, I don't know. I mean, I could tell you that might be at the end of September, it might be the start of the playoffs. I can't say that. But the fact is, we have too many things now that you're looking at to say, oh, we're going to do this, 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 and this, and this. Stay put. Don't do anything.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you have too many holes. And any move you're going to make is going to be on the periphery. It's not going to be something dynamic. You're not willing to move major components, major parts of this team, break up any part of this roster to get something now. It's just not viable. You don't have enough in the farm system to move anybody along for anybody of value. So you'll trade a double-A pitcher for an extra reliever and some cash. You know, I mean, that's the level of moves you're going to see. You know, maybe. Could you theoretically see, I don't know, Travis d'Arnaud being moved to a team, you know, somebody like that? I don't think Kelenic would ever get moved,
nope,
right? I mean,
nope.
He just got here.
Well, and he's inexpensive.
You're not going to move Ozuna because he's the only guy who can hit.
No.
Even though he's in a final year, he's got an option year, a.k.a. final year of his deal.
You're limited.
Yeah. I mean, you're handcuffed right now. There's not a lot of options in front of you. And the options are only bad at this point.
All right. With that said, more with Grant McCauley coming up. We'll get the latest on the Merrifield injury and what he did. Guy hit me up. He said, what'd he do? Did he sign the contract and hurt his finger? No. Apparently he was taking ground balls. All right, that's what guys do. Let's talk about our Falcons.
Not for bad luck we would have known.
Because the biggest storylines heading into camp, obviously, is Kirk Cousins' health. That's number one. How does Kyle Pitts look? For me, that's number two. The Penix thing, guys, it's on the back burner. We know he can spin
it.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I'm not worried about that.
Hold on a second.
What?
Game one, Pittsburgh. Game two, Philly. Game three, Kansas City.
Yeah.
You start out 0-3.
Here you go.
I'm asking you the question. I'm not saying me. I'm asking you the question.
Here you go.
Don't no. Don't do that. I'm not allowing you to do that, okay? I'm telling you, I'm asking you the question. I didn't say what I would do. I'm asking you the question.
By presenting the question, you are presenting an issue and a problem of controversy.
No, I'm not. I'm asking a very legitimate question.
You're like, if we're 0-3, what do you do?
If they're 0-3, is it fair to ask questions about your starting quarterback at that point?
Is health a concern? Is he completely healthy?
He's 100% healthy.
And he's just playing terrible. Controversy. Then this is where we're going. Yes.
Is that it's fair to do that?
It's fair.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Why not, Turtle?
Because you just paid the man $100 million.
Thank you. Guaranteed. Okay, so the point is, this is why you don't do this. You don't self-create quarterback controversies.
Stop it. It is fair. It's fair. We're 0-3. He's 100% healthy, and we hadn't beaten any of these teams, and he's playing like garbage?
Well, they're three playoff teams from last year.
It doesn't matter. Okay. Kirk Cousins, you better show up and show out. That's what I expect.
I agree 100%. I'm with you 100%.
Yes.
Guys, I don't think there's a legitimate world this year where the Falcons should even entertain benching Kirk Cousins. There's not a – if he's 100% healthy, he plays all 17 games, and it's not a question. There's not a world.
Well, the way you just made it out is like he throws two picks and a pick six in the next game and a
– I didn't make it out. I asked you the question.
A scoop and score in the next one.
I asked you the question. Is it fair to bring it up? Because you know I will in a press conference. But that said, they still need to do the job at some point of addressing this. Michael Penix is not seeing the field this year.
Oh, you don't say that.
Yes, you do.
You don't say that.
Unless Kirk Cousins is injured.
You don't say that.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't, Zeno.
You squash it right now and then deal with the change when it comes.
No, Zeno, because you don't know what the future holds. You don't know how this thing is going to play out.
Hey, you know what you say when the time comes? We've been presented with new information. New information has allowed us to make a new decision.
Okay? No, you don't do that.
No, you do.
You don't put yourself. No, Raheem Morris is not going to put himself in a corner and say.
You should.
The kid is not going to see the field.
He should not
at all.
If Kirk Cousins is healthy, Michael Penix will not see the field. That's exactly what I would do.
No.
And end it and squash it and never make it an issue.
You don't end it. What you do is you put yourself in a corner. To your point,
right.
If he plays badly in three games,
and then
all of a sudden, coach,
you're going to be answering quarterback questions the entire damn season.
What?
You're going to be answering quarterback questions the entire damn season. Because when Michael Penix comes in and then has a bad game as his first game as a rookie, are we going back to Kirk now?
Why?
And then you've created.
Why are you projecting this negativity? I don't need this.
That's what they just did with Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly what happened. I don't need this.
You know what I need? You want to avoid CT, right?
You know what I need? I need Kirk Cousins. What's up, Kirk? I need Kirk Cousins to ball out.
He's going to.
Be incredible.
He's going to.
Right?
He's going to.
And this is not even a concern.
By the way, if he balls out and you're still 0-3 because you're playing three really good teams.
Okay, see, this is what I'm talking about.
What?
Here you go. Here you go. If
what?
He balls out and we still lose, are you going to consider? No, I'm not considering anything.
Somebody will ask that question.
It's all about how you play, Zeno.
No, it won't be me.
If he plays well,
guys, I am the biggest Kirk Cousins fan. I have said for years I'm not here for Kirk Cousins slander.
This dude
he's been a top eight quarterback
legit.
In this league for the last 6 years.
He's legit,
without
man.
Question.
Come on.
So I back Kirk Cousins 100%, always have, always will.
Yeah, I just feel like if you told me, for example, week one, he throws for 350 and three touchdowns, and we lose by a field goal, he's playing great. We go into week two, we go to Monday Night Football against
Philly.
The Eagles, right? We lose 24-17, and Kirk Cousins had two touchdowns and 300 yards, no turnovers. He's playing great. At some point, it's the other things that win football games for you. I don't feel like we should even be discussing that. If he's playing great, there shouldn't be any discussion whatsoever. If he's playing horribly, it is fair to ask it.
Yes, it's 100% fair to ask. When your quarterback doesn't play well, it's 100%
fair to ask it.
However,
however,
when you have a no-name backup.
However.
When you have a no-name backup that, you know, just is a guy on the roster, it's never asked because it's not really
– because he can't win for you.
Right. So that's why you don't self-create a quarterback controversy, which is what they did.
They didn't do that.
Yeah, they did.
I'm going to throw a little wrench into this.
Please.
I
like wrenches.
I had a chat with our buddy D-Lay.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
What's that?
He said, don't be surprised if Michael Penix Jr. is not the backup.
Okay.
What, third string guy?
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Smartest thing that they would do. You know what, CT? I never thought of that. It would be the smartest thing they could do. Don't even dress him on game day. Don't even dress him. It's not an option.
Make it a red shirt year, essentially?
Yep, 100%. That would be the smart. I didn't think of that. Thank you very much. I'm going to run with that now, and I'm going to pass it off as my own.
You guys are killing me.
No, it is the smartest thing to do.
You guys are killing me. Listen, dressing the kid out or not, okay, having Michael Penix on the sideline or not, doesn't dictate how you handle this situation. Whether he is or isn't the second or third or fourth team quarterback, that has nothing to do with it. We know he is the future at some point. But I
want 4 years down the road.
But I want to talk about Kirk Cousins. And more importantly, I want to talk about this.
Pick up that fifth-year option. This, the guy's
mental,
taking a snap.
This mental thing that you were talking about earlier. That
they
you said,
are going to do what you think they need to do. Right. They do what they think they need to do. That's it. I want to talk about this.
That is a Carl Dukesism as I've ever heard one.
Because it's the truth.
It's a Dukesism.
They do what they want to do. I want to talk about this mental thing real quick. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. You were talking about the OTAs and minicamp and all that. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage. And you were saying that if these guys come into camp making mental mistakes, you're going to have a problem with it. And Coach Ra, is that what I heard you say?
Well, I was at OTAs. It's not an issue. I was at OTAs, and that was the theme that kept coming out of his mouth. Repeatedly, it was the mental game. You know, all those practices you can't hit, it was all about the mental game. You've had a lot of time to get mental. And if you don't get that right early in camp, it's an alarm. Well, then what the hell did you do at OTAs? If you guys are still making mistakes and you don't understand the playbook and, you know, guys aren't ready to play, then what's the issue?
So you have an issue with that?
I don't have it will set off an alarm. I'm not going to. You're not going to bait me into calling it an
it's
issue.
Too you hate late. That word issue, don't
You've
you?
You've already said you have an issue with it.
Because I got issues.
You've already
Isn't that
said
assault?
It.
Because I got issues.
All right. I don't know if that's going to be the case. Big O said there are overall less practices because of the CBA, maybe joint practices, etc. My point is, you got to take advantage of your time. Whatever that's going to be, you take advantage of
it. The joint practices in Miami are going to be interesting.
They are.
You want to know why? Because that's a legitimate offense. And there are question marks on the defense still. So getting smoked, first team unit getting smoked by them will not be fun to watch.
All right. Falcons camp starts Wednesday. I'm excited. I hope you are. They are. Coming up, what did Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, say today about Florida State and Clemson trying to leave the conference? You'll hear it next.
Of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Dukes and Bells, N-O-N for Mike today. Coming up, we'll talk to Grant McCauley. More injuries our Braves are facing as they start a new series, and Ronaldo Lopez on the hill tonight. What's going on at the ACC media days? ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips said today that the league would fight lawsuits with Clemson and Florida State for as long as it takes. This is one of the things that's going on there. Now, we had a great conversation with Brent Key, Georgia Tech head coach. We'll hear more of that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour because Georgia Tech starts the season week zero, which is August 24th, in Dublin against Florida State. But as far as the conference is concerned, you know, this is supposed to be the showcase, right? Just like the SEC media days last week in Dallas where everybody gets a chance to kind of talk about their program, where they're at, what's going on, and they will do that. But this is also lingering, and I want you to hear what Jim Phillips said, ACC commissioner, about teams trying to exit the conference.
As I turn my attention to the year ahead, I must directly address the ongoing disputes with two of our members about the contracts they each signed twice and whether they will honor those agreements. With multiple ongoing legal cases, there are limits to what I can say, but I can state that we will fight to protect the ACC and our members for as long as it takes. We are confident in this league and that it will remain a premier conference in college athletics for the long-term future. These disputes continue to be extremely damaging, disruptive, and incredibly harmful to the league, as well as overshadowing our student athletes and the incredible successes taking place on the field and within the conference. People feel passionate about athletics, and they feel particularly passionate about college athletics at their respective schools. This passion is what makes college athletics so special, but this passion can also lead to personal attacks.
Boy, he said a lot of that like he almost believed it. ACC, one of the premier conferences, huh? Yeah, you
well,
got that.
Well, listen, he's got a sell, and he does, about this thing.
When I think premier, I think SMU.
This is not going to change. Did you hear what he said? He said these two schools signed the documents.
He's scared.
Of course he is.
He's running scared. He's got his fingers in the dam. He's trying to do damage control as much as he can.
But he said they signed these documents twice. He put that out there purposely to say, hey, you know, they not only knew what they were signing.
You made a commitment to us here,
Benny. I don't know if or when this goes down. I will say this. Everybody, Brent McMurphy joined me over the weekend on my national show. We had Connor Riley on today. Everybody is saying the same thing. SEC's not offering.
No.
There is no open door here where you go, we're just going to leave and go to SEC. That's not happening, and neither is the Big Ten right now. Now, does that change? Maybe. But as of right now, there's no reason to, because if you add these schools, Zeno, it changes the TV contract.
Of course.
You're going back to the negotiating table. But the SEC right now, as we heard from, you know, last week at SEC Media Week, nobody's talking about Clemson or Florida State coming to the SEC. So with that said, that's what he is saying, and that is ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips. He was also talking about the changes in college football. Big O, let's play the one where he talks about many changes in college football overall. Here's Jim Phillips.
In February, I began my fourth year as commissioner, and it's hard to argue that there has been a time in college athletics that has seen more change than what's currently transpiring in our industry. As a leader in college sports, the ACC is well positioned to positively affect and embrace future change. In a time of great change, what remains constant is the greatness of the ACC. National championships, prestigious academic institutions, tremendous student athletes, and a remarkable future.
I don't debate any of that. What I do debate is you have people trying to get out, and it's going to cause disruption. I said this earlier. For Georgia Tech fans, you're like, oh, we don't care. That doesn't involve us. It will. If those schools somehow get out of this contract, you're going to have other schools running and leaving, and all of a sudden, you don't want to be the odd man out. You don't want to be the Pac-2, okay? You don't want to be the schools that where all of a sudden everybody's out, everybody has a landing spot, and you don't. So you have to at least pay attention to it. I do not think any of this happens until after this season is completed. We're going to go through an ACC season schedule set. Things are fine. But once we get done with this year and all the litigation that could potentially happen, you know, this is not going to go away. Now, let's talk about the additions real quick, because we're talking about ACC Media Week or
more
Media
issues,
Days.
Huh?
Well, you add a couple of schools or three schools, actually, that I just feel like, and again, when you want to enhance the conference, Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC, it's a big deal because they enhance the conference. When you're talking about SMU, Stanford, and Cal coming to the ACC, two of those schools are traveling over 3,000 miles for most of their games to be played. Again, they'll have some home games, obviously, but half your schedule, that's a lot, man. And I just don't know. You say, well, we want to be in California. Okay, well, you are. You want the Texas footprint? Okay, you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But I don't know if that enhances the ACC. And that was something else that was talked about today.
Well, they got 17 teams now in the ACC. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why he's saying we're not going anywhere. That's what he's talking about.
Again, I think the SMU thing was premature. I still would have went after Oregon State and Washington State. That's what I would have done. I would have tried to gobble up the rest of the Pac-12, right? Get some more legitimate teams in there. I mean, Oregon State was a top 10 team last year, top 15 team all season long.
Yep.
You know, get the Pacific Northwest markets. They're not bad. They're not great. But, I mean, if you can grab a Seattle market, you know, in some size, way, shape, or form, with Washington State and Oregon State, you know, you grab that. I think that's worth it. But again, I also think you're providing more legitimate teams to the ACC. SMU's not going to do anything for you.
Well, they might.
Yeah, they were great in the American, but this is a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah, no, they were.
UCF was great in Conference USA. Guess what? Welcome to the Big 12, boys.
They're on the come. I think the SMU addition may be more significant than the Stanford and Cal addition. Cal is that's a nothing. But neither here nor there. At the end of the day,
but you can't take 19, can you?
ACC is trying to project itself as saying, hey,
All Florida State and Clemson are saying is show me the money.
Yeah.
They wanted to make it worth more than why.
But why would you go back to the negotiating table if you have a deal and through 2036?
Because
why would you do that if I don't have to?
For the same reason that the Packers are going back to the negotiating table with Jordan Love, because they asked for it.
Yeah.
Because he asked for it.
But there's no leverage here.
For whom? ACC or Stanford and Florida? I mean, Clemson and Florida State.
Those two, yes. Where's the leverage?
We'll pick up and go. We'll pay the buyout and we'll pick up and go.
Nobody's paying $500 million. That's the other problem. Everybody's talking about leaving. I've been saying this for months. Who's cutting the check?
Well, again, where are Clemson and Florida State going? That's the issue.
Well, no landing spot. And then, two, where's the money coming from? People have said, oh, well, if they go to the Big Ten, Big Ten will just, you know, you'll put it into their media rights. You pay us $10 million a year. We're going to cut you a check for $80 million or $75 million a year. $10 million of that, you pay us back and we'll be good. Okay. I got to see that happen. I just think when you start talking about leaving these contracts, and this is why they do them, there was a lot of money. Texas and Oklahoma paid a lot of money to leave the Big 12.
Oh, they got
it. But they had it.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
They got it. It'd be hard for me to believe that Clemson and Florida State don't have the money. Now, it depends on, you know, how they have to execute all that money, whether it's right now up front or,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, over 10 years over, or
right,
whatever,
right,
whatever it
right,
is.
Right, however they execute it, you know. I mean, it can be had. The money can be had. But it's a sticky situation here. And the other members of the ACC, I'm curious where they're. I mean, does anybody else want to leave?
Well, see, that's the thing. I think if you open up this door, it's Pandora's box. Because I think at that point, if you say, hey, we're leaving because we can get more money elsewhere, well, why wouldn't North Carolina? And then North Carolina State. Oh, then why wouldn't Virginia? Oh, well, why would Virginia Tech? Like, all of a sudden, I think you're just opening up that door to say, well, of course, we can go get some more money, too. So here's the deal. Does your program bring that kind of cachet?
When do we get to a point where the flexibility that these schools have had becomes more inflexible?
Meaning?
I mean, like you said, the SEC hasn't taken anybody.
Nope.
The Big Ten doesn't need to take anybody.
Nope.
There's not a market that they want or need or anything else. You're not going down to a can or going to the American or Conference
no,
USA.
The only other landing spot is Big 12. That's the only other landing spot. And if you're Florida State, does that make sense?
It makes sense financially, yes, it could. 9, 12, what do they got? 15, 16 teams? You can go to 18 if that's what the SEC is doing, if they want to get out and go to the Big 12.
Yeah, I don't think it makes sense. Again, I'm just being completely honest with you guys. This is foolish. I get the money aspect.
Well, all of this is foolish because it's predicated
foolish.
On the dollar.
Yep.
And it's all this is about. You know, you think at some point in time, maybe the NCAA would want to step in and try to make this a little bit more equitable, but they're basically one of the most useless organizations except for one weekend in March that we've seen.
3 weekends.
Well,
hey, coming up.
That all comes with it. I just mean the selection Sunday. That's about it.
Grant McCauley's going to join us. Injuries abound for our Braves. What's the latest? Find out next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
For Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuña Jr. It is gone.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up at 6 o'clock, we will get you caught up on all the latest NFL news as teams get ready to head to camp, including Joe Burrow's been fully cleared for contact, and also some holdouts to mention. We'll get to all of that, but right now let's talk about our Braves as we go around the yard with Grant McCauley. Grant, what the hey is going on with this team? I mean, all these injuries, man, and lay out to our listeners what happened today because, I mean, yesterday was hard to watch with Ozzie going down, and we know he's going to be out 8 weeks. What's the latest today?
Yeah, just a truly bizarre series of events that hopefully aren't going to be something that are going to linger quite as long as yesterday's injury news, which I'm sure we'll get into. But the Braves, with the loss of Ozzie Albies and that fractured wrist, they signed Whit Merrifield, the veteran who's been with the Phillies this year, also the Royals and the Blue Jays. Been around for a while, a versatile big leaguer. Just thinking that would help him out. Well, he went out there to do a little fielding practice alongside top prospect Nacho Alvarez, who was also called up on this day. And somehow in the midst of all of that, he took a ball off his hand, off a finger, and had to get evaluated. So Merrifield is going to be fine. It sounds like he will be available should the Braves need him tonight. But just when you think of the things you could do without, an injury scare to the guy you literally signed not even 12 hours ago would probably go on that list.
Yeah, Grant, you know, Dukes and I were sitting here kind of just going over all the areas of need. It's really hard to get multiple areas of need addressed at the trade deadline. There's just not enough there's not enough partners out there.
Yeah.
It's hard to make a lot of moves. You certainly don't have the assets in your inventory to part with. So, you know, if you had to prioritize, if you're Alex Anthopoulos and had to prioritize the areas of need and how you'd address them, what would the order be?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it kind of depends, because it felt like for so long we're talking about, well, they could use help in the outfield, and that's still true. We've talked about, okay, well, what if you could fortify the rotation? That would be nice, right? Yep, that's also true. Now with Max Fried, there's at least some uncertainty about what's going on with him, even if it's not believed to be serious. You have a certain amount of shopping days before then. You don't have the opportunity to at least get guys that could help you in October. You can still acquire players after the trade deadline, but they won't be eligible for the postseason, which is, of course, part of going out and doing the shopping, is to make yourself not only strong for the stretch drive, but when the games matter the most, which no games matter more than the ones in October. I don't need to tell anybody that. But then you look at what happened with Ozzie Albies. He's going to be out what looks like at least a couple of months. Why wouldn't you want to go out and figure out a way to get stronger there? But I feel like with Nacho Alvarez and with perhaps Whit Merrifield, but at the very least with Alvarez, you owed it to yourself to figure out what you have there before you maybe over-prioritize the second base loss and do something that, I don't know, like expending your trade chips, like you said, to get all of these deals done is going to be complicated, if not impossible, for just about any GM, particularly if it's a seller's market and there just aren't that many players out there for you to get. So I don't know that that really answered the question, but it at least took us through the exercise of exactly what Alex Anthopoulos is facing, depending on what day it is and depending on what happened in yesterday's game in some cases. And for the Braves, yesterday was a double whammy, the likes of which they would like to not see again this year.
I heard Travis d'Arnaud after the game, Grant, say he could have thrown a better throw. And I was like, don't say that. Travis, it's not your fault. Like, it was just one of those freak things, right? Describe the play in which Ozzie gets hurt.
You hate that for obviously all the reasons. Number one, Ozzie gets hurt. But I mean, in baseball, you know, things happen. And it had to take that slide and that timing of that throw and the way that Ozzie went to it. There were a lot of variables in place, so you can't place the blame on Travis d'Arnaud. But I can certainly understand why he felt the way he felt after that, because the throw carried Ozzie toward the runner sliding into second base. And as he reached back, he just had his wrist pulled back in a direction in which I would have thought, just based on watching it, we're talking about ligament damage. But instead, it's a fractured wrist. And this has been a problem for Ozzie, unfortunately, twice this year. It happened twice in 2022. I had somebody online ask me if Ozzie's just fragile. And my answer to that is no. These are weird freak things that are kind of out of his control that have happened to him. But you know, as someone who has never broken a bone, I can't imagine going through what Ozzie has been through the last couple of years. And now the Braves just have to find a way to sort through it and to get through it the best they can right now. But for d'Arnaud, I know he had to be feeling some kind of way about it yesterday, but hopefully he's able to put that behind him pretty quickly. But you hate to see a guy like Albies go down for what he means to this club, not just on the field, but behind the scenes and in that clubhouse. And Austin Riley talked about it before the game. He said, this is a gut punch. And we've got a lot of those this year. And quite frankly, as Brian Snitker pointed out, it's getting a little tough to backfill these injuries for Atlanta. So it goes back to what Mark was just asking about, the trade deadline. What else can the Braves do? We're all going to find out over the next, 9 days? So 8 days, actually.
What's the rotation look like now? I mean, what's the, in the short term, the resolution for Fried being out?
I think it's just kind of that revolving door of trying to get some arms up that, you know, maybe have had some success at AAA. Maybe it's just that their start times out with the day that the Braves need it to. And obviously, you know, Bryce Elder was brought up as the 27th man. That was one that it doesn't affect his positioning if they need to bring him back up again in 5 days. He doesn't have to stay down for the requisite 10 days that you do when you get option. That's one of those rules that's just kind of inside of what the Braves are trying to figure out in this math, in which they have to play what turned into 17 games in 16 days coming out of the All-Star, break. So, you know, who will we see in this mix? I would imagine that Elder would be on that list. I think Alan Winans has been pitching extremely well at AAA Gwinnett. I'd assume he could get another look. We've seen him a couple of times in each of the last couple of years. And then as you go down the line, depending on how long Fried's out, are we talking about potential Ian Anderson return, A.J. Smith-Shawver, some of the other names that the Braves would have high on their list should they have had their services earlier? And then, of course, what will they do at the trade deadline? Could they bring over a starter that could help patchwork this thing? And then when Fried gets back, make it an even better rotation again? All of that's on the table, and I think the Braves are going to have to continue to move the pieces around on the board to fit their means, and I don't think they want to stop giving the extra rest to Reynaldo Lopez and Chris Sale as they can going forward, because that's something that's worked.
Reds in town. Let's talk about this series. Got to forget about the Cards and try to win this one. Tonight, speaking of Lopez, he's on the hill, right?
Yep, you got Ronaldo on the hill against a fellow All-Star in Hunter Green, so could be a lot of strikeouts. The high-octane stuff of Green is going to be another challenge for this Braves lineup. Of course, we saw Atlanta finally made that change, Snit did, by dropping Matt Olson in the order yesterday, maybe take a little bit of pressure off of him, give Marcelo Zuna more RBI opportunities, trying to bunch these guys up as well, if you can, with, you know, having Austin Riley swinging the bat well right now really helps, but you got to get Jared Kelnick going. I love putting Nacho Alvarez at second in the order. I talked about this in one of the shows I did yesterday. Why not ride the hot hand with an on-base percentage guy? Why bury him at the bottom of a lineup that hasn't been clicking? So I think he's getting a cool opportunity here and one that he seems to be very excited about. Talking to him before the game, he really said, I wasn't going to be surprised by this call. I knew, I know what my skills are and I was just going to be ready and I'm excited to go out there and attack this thing. And you got to love that mindset, certainly. And this is a guy that was just hitting the absolute cover off the ball for AAA Gwinnett.
I didn't see the lineup. Where are they batting him tonight?
He's batting second.
Hmm. Wow, that's aggressive.
I like it.
It is.
I like it.
It is, but you look at the rest of his lineup, and I'm with you. I mean, if it hasn't been working now,
right.
I mean, yes, Ozuna's hitting, Riley's hitting, Kelnick's done some good things at the leadoff spot. Hopefully he's kind of going through the funk that he's, dealt with. But who else was really the logical fit for second? You don't have Michael Harris, who I also talked to before the game. He continues to run but hasn't advanced to sprinting yet, which is the next big step for him. This is just, trying to figure it out. As Brian Snitker said, it's getting tough. It's getting very tough to figure out where they're able to put different guys and what order and what combination they can do, because you can't replace some of the guys that are on the injured list right now. There's just no way to do that, and making a bunch of trades isn't going to fix it either.
Nope. All right, man. Good stuff, Grant. Lots of stuff going on with our Braves. Stay up on everything that's happening. Follow Grant, guys. We will talk tomorrow. Hopefully we can get a win tonight, and then we'll see how things shake out. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right. Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Zeno is in for Mike today. Reds in town. It's just, like we said, one thing goes wrong, another thing goes wrong, and then it just starts to add up where it becomes overwhelming. Hey, coming up, we're going to get you caught up on the latest around the National Football League, including what John Harbaugh said. Maybe you don't agree with what he said, but a lot of people are talking about it. The latest on our Falcons as they get ready for the start of training camp, and some Falcon news as well. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.